welcome back to the podcast. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at the letter of James. Now, we live in a world that tells us what to think day by day. Is that something a Christian should just live with? Well, James, in this letter, he wants to warn us about double-mindedness, living as if we are a Christian and a non-Christian at the same time. So let's dive in and hear what he has to say. How easy do you find it to spot deception? How easy do you find it to spot deception when someone phones up pretending to be computer support and needs all your passwords? When a prince from Nigeria emails you offering you a share in some money if you just give him your bank details? When a story is making its way around social media, are you able to shout fake news? Quite a lot of the time, things are easy to spot. Why would computer support need to ring my computerless nan? And everybody knows that Nigerian princes spend far too long on their emails. Quite often these things are easy to spot. But James, in our passage this evening, points us to something, or someone, who is less easy to spot. And that's ourselves. In this passage, James wants us to not be deceived in trials. He wants us not to take our eyes off the prize. He wants us to stay single-minded. I'm going to read for us James chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. That's where we're going to be this evening. James chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, "God is tempting me." For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Well, the prize that we're talking about this evening is there in verse 12. Can you see it? The crown of life. But in the day-to-day life of a Christian, trials can get in the way. If you've been with us for the past few weeks, you'll know we've already come across trials in James. Back up to verse 2, trials are something we're to be single-minded about. And James picks that up again in verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because, having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Now, being blessed is a tricky word to explain. Quite a lot of the time, you could just substitute the word happy in there and not change the meaning too much. But every so often, it does matter. For example, blessed are those who mourn. Can't be made to say happy are those who mourn without sounding completely confusing. Instead, it's easier to think of being blessed in this situation as that of a pregnant woman or of a marathon runner. Just picture one of those two people. The current situation they're in, it's not a particularly happy one, is it? But they are blessed. Why? Well, because there is a result at the end. For the pregnant woman, the result is a baby. For the marathon runner, it's a medal. That's the same idea going on in this verse. In fact, James is using the race running idea here. Blessed is the one who perseveres. There's our running word, verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because they will receive the crown of life. There's the result. There will be an end to trials, but it's still a while off. You still have to persevere. You still need to stand the test. But as I hinted earlier, there is an obstacle to finishing the race well. And that's being deceived by trials. You see, trials, they're like a person standing at the side of the racetrack, shouting at you, offering you things, trying to take your eyes off the prize, trying to cause you to run off course. Oi, come over here. We've got some better stuff for you here. Come this way. Run off the course. Come over to me. And one way James says that you can be deceived in the race is to say this: my sin is God's fault. Or as James says here, God is tempting me. It's interesting to think, what situation might make you say that? What situation may cause you to quote verse 13 and say, God is tempting me? Perhaps it's when temptation is too strong for us. Oh, I just can't do this. God must be tempting me. Or perhaps it's when temptation just feels too natural. You hear people say this, don't you? I was just made this way. Or maybe it's when things are too much of a coincidence. Something just strikes at the wrong time. Or it might be when there's just one more thing on top of everything else. Each of those might cause you to think, God is tempting me. But that's the wrong answer, James says. God's not the one who's tempting anybody. God isn't tempted by evil. He doesn't want anything evil. In fact, he's saved us from evil. He doesn't want us to fall back into it again. Instead, our sin is not God's fault. You can see that in verse 14. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. What causes temptations is our own desires. You can see how that all works in verse 15. It's described like three generations. Desire conceives and it gives birth to sin. And that sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. The gist of that is that temptation comes from within us. As your evil desire is enticed, it gives birth to sin. And if that follows through, it leads to death. To think that God is tempting you is to be unwise. Remember, we've said wisdom is knowing who God is and knowing that he is in control. It attacks the fundamental knowledge of God. It says that God is not all good. It changes who God is. It's not knowing God. And a lack of wisdom causes unsteadiness. It causes double-mindedness, like a car veering off or a runner running off course in this case. Knowing that God does not tempt is the antidote to being deceived. We realise that our own inner desires are the issue and therefore we turn from them and we run the race towards the prize. In fact, if we realise that, we can double down on knowing God better, as James goes on in verses 17 and 18. We can know that God is the source of everything good. And you can bank on that because God doesn't change. You can see that verse 17. Now, we've been sitting in our garden a lot over the past few weeks. Perhaps you have too. The sun passes over our garden quite nicely, so it's warm throughout the day. But if we pick our seat on the grass and then a cloud comes over, it suddenly gets quite cold. Have you ever experienced that? Usually it's long enough to need to put on a hoodie or something. But then as soon as you've done that, pop, the sun comes out again and it's too warm. Standard British weather, really. Standard British attitude to weather as well. But you see, God is not like that. God is not like shifting shadows. God is good all the time. And he gives every good and perfect gift. So as the previous section said, he is not the cause of temptation. I mean, go further than that, actually. Verse 18. One of the good things God has given is birth through the word of truth. See, God doesn't want us to fall into evil. He wants good for us. You see, there's a connection between verses 18 and 15, isn't there? Both are births, but one of them leads to death, verse 15. The other, where does it lead? Verse 18. It leads to life, and life eternally. Do you see, God is good. He does not tempt. So back to where we started. How easy do you find it to spot deception in yourself? How often do you find yourself thinking that God is tempting you? How often do you find yourself believing that God is not all good? Well, that's the kind of thinking, says James, that leads to double-mindedness. That leads to the opposite of verse 12, to not persevering under trial, to not standing the test, and will ultimately lead to not receiving the crown of life. But through wise living, through single-mindedness, we can know that God is good all of the time. He doesn't tempt, but he wants good for us. And so we can turn from our own deception and turn to him, fixing our eyes on the prize and running the race till the end. Well, hopefully that gave us some things to think about. Join us again next week. Hey, baby.